University. Find them on the web at techbc.ca. Playing tracks from their brand new album, No Name Face, to an exclusive XFM audience. This is Live and Direct with Lighthouse. Only on XFM.
Here we are, and welcome to it. XFM's Live and Direct with Lifehouse. My name is Leek, and joining us in lovely downtown Vancouver, our studio audience. How are you? And on the stage, I guess the reason why we are all here, Jason, Sergio, Rick, Stuart, Lifehouse. Over the next half hour, we're going to be playing some tunes. We're going to take some questions. We're going to have some fun, if that's all right with the band.
Oh, that's why we're here.
Welcome to it, guys. Welcome to it.
Thank you.
All right. Now, good response here. You guys getting used to that response every time you go out, every time Lifehouse is mentioned, you got thousands of fans yelling.
No, we're used to the one clapper.
All right.
The clapper.
Cool.
Is it a tough hurdle to get over, though, after a while? Do you think after a while, okay, you know what? This is just getting too crazy. It's getting too out of hand.
No, this is fun.
Let's start it off with an email question. This came from Miami, Florida, from Susan. The way fans act, is it scary sometimes?
You know what? Have you seen, like, Almost Famous or That Thing You Do or one of those movies about music and rock bands? It's not like that anymore. Everyone's really mellow. They're like, oh, cool, can I have an autograph? Okay, cool, see you later. They don't even look at you. It's like business as usual. Except for the people that, like, have stacks of pictures for us to sign so they can sell them on eBay. They're really business. They're like, we don't have your CD, but we'd like you to sell these so I can sell them for $50 a piece.
So you got a crazy fan story right now? Because I know that's a lot of people were wondering that. Any crazy fans following Lifehouse right now?
I actually witnessed a crazy fan story. It was actually involving Rick with a drum head that surged through in the air, and these two girls grabbed a drum head and actually ripped it apart with superhuman strength. And it was amazing.
It was a good one. We had our first stage diving experience the other day in Phoenix, Arizona.
How did that work out?
It didn't go too well. It was good. This guy got on stage, I don't know how, and then he jumped and there was no one there. Except for these two girls, and it got kind of messy. So usually when they're, like, I couldn't do a stage dive right here because I felt too bad. So.
You know what, I think actually the fans would like that if you would do a stage dive. Yeah. We'll save that for later. Want to get into a tune here?
Yeah.
Lifehouse, XFM's Live and Direct.
If you see my face, I think it kind of look like mine. If it had a
and Direct with Lifehouse, brought to you by Tech BC, Canada's high tech university. Six Cycle Carousel, Lifehouse, song actually written about an ex-girlfriend or a current girlfriend?
Yes.
Go on. Go on.
Yes.
Is there any more to this story?
Is there any more to the question?
Yes, there is. Yeah. No. We have a studio audience question actually right now.
Jason, why do you feel the need to leave your meaning behind your songs untold? Do you feel everybody should interpret their songs in their own way?
Yes.
Is that the way this is going to go for the
there are yes and no questions and answers. Yeah. No, I feel that sometimes when you put the whole meaning in a song, at least for me, when I hear a song that it's like they're telling kind of the whole thing, it kind of turns me off sometimes, you know, because it kind of comes across almost cheesy because I think that everyone has different experiences and everyone's life is different. So if you can kind of just leave it open and people can kind of figure it out for themselves. And sometimes I don't know what the song's about until someone comes back to me and goes, oh, yeah, this song was about this and this. And I'm like, I didn't know that. That's cool, you know? It's like you can kind of learn about... Sometimes I'll write a song thinking it's for someone else and it's for myself, you know? So it's different every time. There's no, like, rules to it, really. How's that for a yes and no?
Either that or you're just being mischievous. Just leaving it open, letting people interpret anything that they like.
Yeah.
Obviously, my questions are going to be yes and no.
Come on, give me another one.
Jason.
What's up?
You met with Sergio 6 years ago? How long ago?
5 years ago.
Now, you actually grew up in California, moved east, very far east?
Yeah, Hong Kong.
It's a trip.
Yeah.
Came back to Seattle, and then down to L.A. again.
Yeah, I actually met Sergio on the basketball courts. He was a tougher-looking dude back in the day.
And you just actually came up from, Sergio, you came up from Guatemala. Yeah.
He roughed me up a bit. I still am getting over it.
How did you guys end up hooking up?
Through a mutual friend. We were both terrible musicians at the time, so we thought that it fit to start a band. We met a drummer who's no longer with us right now that we met, Rick. He was actually homeless at the time, living on 3rd Street, Santa Monica. And we're like, man, that guy's good, and we get him a real drum kit. Let's see what he can really do, you know? So same with Stuart. They were in a band together.
Was that a big learning time for the band when you first got together, how to play the instruments, how to perform songs?
Yeah, it was a brutal time musically for all our neighbors. But it finally started getting better over the years. So.
But you guys basically started doing shows right away.
Yeah.
Kind of community shows.
Community, that's a funny way of putting it. Okay, you're going to laugh when I tell you, but we had this gig every Friday at an elementary school. There were high school kids there. It wasn't elementary school except for when their parents would come and pick them up and stuff when we were setting up. So we did that for 3 years, and then it kind of just grew, you know, and pretty soon they became all of our friends, so they wouldn't tell us if we sucked or not. So they keep showing up every Friday, so it's cool.
But you had people traveling for a great distance to come check you guys out on the weekends. I heard you could have like 500 people on any given Friday just to check out these guys.
That's not necessarily true. Maybe 250. Sergio likes to exaggerate a little bit. It was actually just my mom and my dad and my sister.
Have a lot of your songwriting techniques changed since then?
Yeah, I started this thing where I go to Barnes & Noble's when I'm home, when I'm writing songs, and I just get a cup of coffee and I have my book there and I kind of just watch people, you know, so kind of make up in my mind where they're at, you know, different people relating, whether it's a mother and a daughter or two friends or a homeless guy. So more of my songs on the next record are going to be more storyteller type songs.
Almost third party?
Yeah.
Speaking on behalf of someone else type
thing? Yeah. There will be very caffeine-influenced songs.
What do you expect? I mean, the album right now has been out for just a few months, but the band has evolved immensely since the release of that. What are you guys already, have you started writing some new tracks? Is it an ongoing experience with the band?
We're pretty busy right now, just doing the shows, you know, so we just can't believe that all these people are here to see us. So it's, I mean, the record's been out for 4 months, and it's like people are responding to it so well, you know, it's like, it's kind of fishy, like I'm wondering if people paid you to come here or something.
I think they're all pretty big fans, that would be safe to say.
See, that's cool.
power to the fans.
I got a quote here. Something you said. I don't have it all figured out. You learn so many things every day, and it's overwhelming sometimes to trying to see how it all fits together.
I did say that, but it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
There's more.
Okay.
I'm starting to realize that each day is a different road.
Isn't that a Sheryl Crow song? I ripped that off of Sheryl Crow. Sorry.
And you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers to everything right now.
That's a good quote, I think.
Still thinking that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of these songs are, like you said, about trying to figure it out. And the more I try to figure out, the more I realize that you get to the end of your life and you still don't have it all figured out. So it's like a big... Like I said, every day is a different experience.
What's been the biggest evolution for the band? The biggest thing that has happened and has really set you guys to become where you are today?
I think it's probably the tour bus, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Tour bus.
Seeing Sergio's face every morning.
Yeah.
Do you guys get along well on the road, though? I mean, you guys are
besides
living,
the,
eating,
yeah.
sleeping, seeing each other nonstop, 24 hours a day. Is there that moment where you just go, okay, it's breakaway time?
The only thing we fight over is who gets to play the PlayStation the longest, really. And that gets kind of brutal sometimes. But we've had a couple good wrestling matches where a couple people almost got thrown out of the windshield. We're trying to tame that down a little bit.
Does management come in at that point and say, okay, you
yeah,
need a timeout?
Exactly. Timeout. Rick, you go in the corner. Jason, you go to the other corner.
Let's get into another tune here.
Alrighty.
Live and direct with Lifehouse, brought to you by Tech BC, Canada's high tech university. My name is Leek, and these guys are Lifehouse. Hey, thanks again, guys, for hanging out with us today.
We're not leaving yet.
Thank you. That's right. You're not.
We have one more song to play for you.
You're gonna play one more song.
I saw it on your list.
Okay, if that's cool, one more song.
We have to do a little tuning thing though. So if you want to ask us more questions,
I do.
Maybe Sergio's upbringing in Guatemala.
We can talk a little bit about that, and we can also talk about going from shows with 300 of your friends to now being in arenas. Is there a difference? How does it feel on you guys?
Oh, yeah. There's a big difference.
What do you prefer? Like, would you rather do something intimate?
I personally like this type of setting where you can kind of see the back of the room and not, like, way up there in the nosebleed section. Not that there's anyone up there in the nosebleed section, but you're, like, trying to see if there's someone up in the nosebleed section. Serge likes the nosebleed section. But I personally feel more like connection with smaller crowds.
With all the bands that you've been touring with, and there's been some pretty big heavy hitters out there, have they taught you quite a bit on the road what to do, how to perform, what to be ready for, anything like that?
Jason?
Stu?
Actually, it's funny you should bring that up because we have learned quite a lot, actually. We've learned that it's good to eat food quite a bit before you play, just to check the catering out, because you're not sure sometimes maybe how it's going to sit.
That's huge, actually. You may be laughing, yeah. But and also don't take zinc if you haven't eaten before, like I did the other day. I puked my whole lunch up.
Barfy barf.
So that's just something I want all of you to know, because I don't want... There we go. Come on, give it up.
There you go. They're human.
No one should have to puke. It's just wrong. Especially if you're not sick.
Has there been one band that stands out that really gave you some great advice?
Ashbox 20 is probably the coolest band. Yeah. I have to say. It's refreshing to see someone that sold that many records and have that much success that's still humble and nice. And so we're going to try to be... We actually got an article that said they called us Matchbox 10. It wasn't a very good review for us because... I'd rather be Matchbox Half and Half than like Matchbox 10, just because it's like catchier, but what can you do?
But you learned on the road with them, and you still got quite a bit more of the tour to go with them.
Yeah, we got another month and a half. Actually, we're coming to Canada.
You're in Canada right now.
I know, coming back to Canada.
Yeah, in May, right?
In May. See, she knows.
Well,
I don't know, but she knows. Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Let's take a studio question.
I don't know which song's your favorite off the album and why, and we don't want yes as an answer.
Ooh.
Maybe that's something I should do. I should throw that in with the questioning.
That's a good one. I'd have to say my favorite song, it kind of fluctuates, it changes, but the song Everything is probably my favorite song on the record right now. And it's funny, it's one of our favorite songs to play live as well, because it feels like the atmosphere kind of changes. It's a very spiritual song to me, so a lot of people come and they say that they can listen to it all night long and it puts their spirits to peace, you know, and so... What's that?
Same thing over and over.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hours.
I don't have repeat on my CD player, so...
One song over and over.
Really? That song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And Simon. Yeah. We haven't played Simon live yet.
No,
whoa! Let's take a vote. So, who would rather hear Simon than Everything?
No.
That's a tough one. Who would rather hear Breathing than Trying? Breathing? Trying. See, this is cool. Everyone's got a different favorite song.
Deadlock.
Ooh.
Okay.
Good one.
We only have a 25-minute set right now with Matchbox, so it's like we have to toss up what songs we're going to play.
Are you looking at doing your own headlining very soon?
I want to come back here. I like it. It's nice and very warm and comforting. Yeah, we're going to, I don't know if we're exactly going to come back here, but we are going to be doing our headlining.
What do you want your fans to receive from your show, your live performance?
I just want everyone to walk away wishing that we played another song, you know? That's a good feeling, you know, when people actually are like, okay, they're playing for too long, I gotta go home now, you know?
I think the people here, the studio audience, are wishing that right now, but we're gonna keep them waiting. Just a couple more seconds here. Let's talk a little bit about your songwriting process. Like you said, you go to Barnes & Noble and you just sit back with a coffee and stuff like that. What's gonna happen with the full production and recording process?
Well, it's funny because we recorded the record at my producer's house, which is very, I don't think his wife liked that too much because of the guitar noises coming from the living room and stuff. So we're pretty much going to keep it the same way, you know, but obviously we don't want to recreate the same record because I feel like a lot of bands do that. They find what works and then they just do it over and over. I want it to keep growing and expanding, you know, so. But we're pretty much going to keep it very organic, just like this record.
Do you have any do's and don'ts when going in to record? Some things you learned from the first take?
Yeah. Well, at least when I'm doing my vocal, I have to just try to be myself, you know, and not try to make my voice sound anything that it's not. Just kind of like that. It's funny because it's like you have three different tracks. My voice will sound like three different singers, and then it's just like the easiest one is when I'm just not thinking about it, you know.
How long did it take you guys for No Name Face?
It took about a year and a half. We took our time with it.
Wow.
Tracked 22 songs, and so hopefully we'll release a B-side record someday or something.
I don't think these people would mind that at all. Well, how hard is it to find a promoter? Just a rogue question out from the middle.
Are you in a band? No. You know, sometimes you just have to be in the right place at the right time, you know, because, I mean, it seems like almost everyone has a CD today, but it's like it always seems if they can get the right person to pass a tape on to someone else that could pass it on to another person. Really? Well,
give us your CD, man.
Yeah, give us your CD.
There you go. Lifehouse will hook you up with all your mega recording deals, just like that.
Hanging by a moment?
Yes.
All right.
Falling even more in love with you, letting go.
Live and direct with Lifehouse, a concert experience like no other. We got to thank you for coming out, everybody, and hanging out with us and Lifehouse. And thanks to Lifehouse. One more time.
Thank you very much.
This has been Live and Direct on XFM. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been Live and Direct from XFM World Headquarters at 2440 Ash, Vancouver. Canada's High Tech University. Find them on the web at techbc.ca.